Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Bench Talk. I am so excited. Every episode I say I'm excited because I love talking to people. I love talking to the guests that I have on. I love engaging with people more so than looking at a black screen and talking out into nothingness. Like, is anyone there? Is anyone listening? So I'm really excited to have with me today, Dr. Anne-Marie Let's try it again. And we're not going to edit this part. Dr. Anne-Marie Balkonski. Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
Balkonski. I'm happy. I'm glad about that. Dr. Anne-Marie, she is a clinical therapist and owner at Rapid Realization. Anne-Marie, you're also a transformational coach. Yay. And you also, you have a podcast as well. So welcome, fellow podcaster. Rapid Realization is your podcast. And, you know, you're also a badass because I've heard a lot about you. I've read your story. All the women that I have on my podcast are badasses. I think I'm one and I tend to attract and surround myself with women who do the damn thing. And I mean that in such a way where, you know, we are real women. We do have insecurities. We do have challenges, but we still find the way to get through. You know, sometimes it's not easy. We try to make it look easy, but it's not easy. Or we're just, you know, just being human. But say hello to everyone. And Anne-Marie, sorry about that.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me. And hello, audience, everybody out there listening. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited too. And I say the same thing on my podcast. Everyone, I'm excited. but I'm super excited to have this dialogue. I too love connecting. So thank you for having me on, Jackie.
Absolutely. I think today's topic is going to resonate with so many people because I know I've been in this space as well. We want to talk about change. We're going to talk about why change is so hard, and we're just kind of going to go with the flow with that and see where it takes us. But definitely want to talk about change. But before we do, and maybe this is a perfect segue into change, right? Anne-Marie's story is really, I want to say, remarkable. You know, it is unique to you, and not but, and it is remarkable. So let's talk about Anne-Marie, where you started, you know, where you came from and where you are today and what that journey has been like for you.
I love your word choices too. And instead of but, absolutely don't want to negate what we just said. So, where do I start? But basically, like, I guess let's start from the main pivotal point because my childhood was pretty chaotic. People will see me, meet me now, and they're like, huh? They're like, what did you go through? And so, throughout most of my childhood, it was pretty chaotic. My mom, unfortunately, you know, had her own traumas and experience. And, you know, she was engaged in substances. And I basically was moving around a lot from out my childhood. You know, I couch surf, I slept over at like my people from schools, their families' homes. And basically, I eventually ended up in foster care at by 11 years old. I was in foster care, so I was in the system. My mom at the time, obviously, like, you know, after in and out in jail, like going through her process of really understanding what she went through, her own healing process, I ended up being basically emancipated by 16. So at 16, I went out on my own. You know, I ended up getting my first apartment. I had to drop out of high school. After dropping out of high school, I knew deep down inside, like I had the ability to change and to create my life, to manifest my life. I saw around me, I had this like awareness, like, okay, I see what can happen if I continue to like not do anything. You know, I didn't like the feeling of struggling, you know, of course. And the only way I saw myself out of my situation was going to college. So I got my GED at 19. I went to college undergrad, and I thought 2 years was too long for school. I was like, no way. Like, let's hurry up and get a quick degree. Like, I just want to get out there and work. And honestly, I was pretty good with school. I kind of fell in love with it. I love just understanding the mind. And one of the biggest things that, that, you know, through my foster care is, I had a lot of foster children come in and out of the system, of course, that I witnessed. And I was so fortunate to have an amazing foster family. And, you know, you just see a lot of emotions and hurt. And my situation, you know, was not the best, but I did see other people, family, that children that went through pretty extreme cases. And I think that was the pivotal moment that I realized that, hey, I wanted to help people. Like, I really had that innate drive to just like make people feel better and to like make them feel like, hey, you're not alone. Like, I understand what you're feeling. I feel these feelings. So obviously I went into I chose a field of healing. And, after doing pre-med or biology, I got accepted into med school and, you know, I became a doctor. So I graduated from med school.
You say that so nonchalantly. I became a doctor.
Okay. It had its challenges. Okay. It had its challenges. Trust me. Yeah. You know, I was during med school. It was during the 2008 economy crash. So needless to say, I had my own trials and tribulations of even just getting through financially, because I didn't have a cosigner. I didn't have my family to really, you know, give me that financial stability. So, I mean, my friends were really a huge support, and my sister too. Like, I did have people really around me, really trying to push and help me. So without them, I wouldn't be where I am. Like, I acknowledge that. But it did have its additional challenges of just like, in comparison, like comparison was so huge. I recently published a book called Medicine Woman, and it's an anthology with, all about all the doctors, you know, that went through trying times. And so my story was about like really the comparison that I did during med school. You know, I was very hard on myself. I didn't realize that negative self-talk that I had. Like, I was completely unaware about that voice that I had up there in my mind, like really putting myself down. Like, you're not good enough. How can you be a doctor? How can you think you can help people if you can't even help yourself? Like, that was the main thing through my head. And I just really, in a sense, self-sabotaged myself throughout that, you know. And so, of course, you know, that had my own, you know, healing through that. I mean, trust me, we can sit here for hours talking about that part. You know, so I went through my own healing journey through med school. I really got into meditation during that time, because I went through the whole traditional approach of like speaking with therapists, and, you know, I had doctors around me all the time. So, you know, I did the medication thing. Like, I felt so much heaviness in my body, and just really, the one thing that really helped me kind of help alleviate that was just really getting to the root was meditation.
Okay.
You know, so meditation was kind of the opening door to what I'm doing now, in a sense, that it made me realize the power of the body, the power of the mind, and just having that sense of awareness within oneself and our emotions, and really reframing things and just reprogramming like who we are, so that we can manifest and really create the life, so that we can choose the steps moving forward. Right. So needless to say, I manifest in my practice. And yeah, so
that's awesome.
So sorry,
go ahead. No, go ahead.
So I was going to say, like, you know, now I've been in corporate America. I was, ran multiple substance abuse, mental health facilities. It became a bit jaded with the whole traditional approach. And, you know, I really wanted to solve the root cause as to why people are really creating self-sabotage. Why are we not what is getting in the real way? And this kind of ties into that change, you know, why do we resist things? You know, and I found the root cause, and that is within our subconscious mind. It's really in our deep being. And so I trained to become a hypnotherapist and learned really about that subconscious mind and understanding the body, understanding those programmings that we hold and how to help people shift and release them, basically.
That's amazing, you know, because you where I want to go back, because you kind of skimmed over it a little bit, and this is all in alignment of where we're going today, but throughout the whole process, when you realize that, you know what, the, you know, the medication route and talking through this really wasn't it for me, where were you in your journey? You were already a doctor, right?
Yes. Yes.
You were already a doctor in that. Yeah. And then like, what clicked? Like, how did you know, hey, let me try this other route?
Yeah. So the huge turning moment, I guess when I basically woke up and I had a childhood friend that passed away, and that woke me up because I was almost living in this automation. Like, you know, I had a good job, I finished school, I kind of like, I kind of, people would say like, I made it, you know, but I didn't, I didn't make it. Like, I was just felt miserable. And, you know, my relationship
was not
well.
People are looking at you like, you have your shit together.
Yeah, you did it. You made it. Yeah.
But what are you upset? What are you upset about? What are you depressed about? What are you sad about? Yeah. Right. You have a great life. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm inside, sure I'm screaming that. Though.
Inside, you're like, you don't know. Help me. Can't you guys see what's happening? You know, you see how I can talk about that because hand raised.
We've all been there.
We've been there. We've all been there. But I didn't mean to interrupt you, but continue.
No, you're fine. Yeah. So that woke me up. And I asked myself at that moment, I was like, if I was not here today, you know, obviously, because after my friend passing, you get the realization of life, like where I'm alive. Holy cow, I breathe. And I asked myself, okay, if you were gone today, would you be happy? And it was like a full body resonating no. Like, wow. No.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I need to do something. And you know, I started really just shifting things around me. I just started searching and I found hypnotherapy. I was like, okay, you know what? I've done the traditional route. I know a lot of information. Like, God, I mean, I read every probably self-help book you could possibly think of, but things were just not clicking. After doing hypnotherapy, that's when I was like, whoa, that's where it came from. I thought I forgave. I thought I healed, but I didn't do it at the body level. And that hypnosis was really allowing me to getting into the trance state, really connecting with my body, getting into that trance state allowed me to shift some of those. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I started making connections between the traditional model and how we are trained, even in medical school, and how it's almost like a band-aid putting, you know, I understand that it has its place. Absolutely. Like it has its place in the system that we have to work with. However, we're not, you know, and I just started seeing that so clearly as I became, I've never felt so good and relieved in a sense, like healing, lifting up, just feeling my whole perspective on life changed within a 6-month period.
Wow.
My life didn't change. My life did not change. Like I was still in the same job, same relationship, same everything around me. And so obviously that's when I started making the conscious effort of manifesting my physical reality. So my internal reality has completely shifted. So I just started shifting it externally in order to match my internal reality now. So, you know, that was the moment. And the whole study of like this, you know, I started getting into epigenetics and just really started studying like the power of like really our environment. What are we telling ourselves? The energy of like, you know, words have vibration, words are energy and all of that things. And it just started to click with my medical understanding. And I was like, what the heck? Why did they not teach us this? This is the answer that I was looking for all of those idiopathic conditions that they speak about. When they say idiopathic, it basically means they don't have, like, I say it's the idiot's answer, but idiopathic just means we don't know. We don't know the cause. No.
Yeah.
But how are all of these conditions like, you know, GI, you know, a lot of neurological issues, fibromyalgia, even a lot of mental health issues, they're all lumped under idiopathic, but the one common denominator is emotions and stress. Hello. Yep. Yes, we have an answer.
If you guys could see, I'm like vigorously shaking my head. Yes. Yes. Oh my goodness. This is so on point, especially for me, in what has transpired over the past year. We're in July. Yeah. At the time of this recording, it's July. And absolutely everything that you have said is absolutely true. I want to touch on that later. But this really goes into, and I love how you were able to go deeper, you know, just not stay at the surface level. What can I do externally to make changes? It's really inside, from the inside out. There's a lot of things from the inside out. Energy is all around us. Energy, we exude. Things will happen to us and we'll eat it and bottle it up and think that we've forgotten about it, right? And then our lives start to manifest those things in negative ways. And we're like, where's this coming from? Well, I don't understand. And then more of that shows up, more of that shows up. And there are times, and I say we collectively, in talking with the women that I have spoken to over the past few years and the women that I work with at all levels in their careers, a lot of professional women, and you look at them and you're like, what's the deal? You know what I mean? Everything looks perfect. I know better than that because, you know, I'm a coach. Everything looks great on the surface. So now we're diving a little bit deeper and having conversation and you're unhappy. It's not a depressive unhappy, but you're not satisfied, I should say. You're not satisfied. Yeah. You know, something needs to change. You're not sure what that change is. And a lot of folks who come to me, they think they're coming to talk about resume. They think they're coming to talk about their boss and what do I need to do more at work? And it's like, we're going to put all of that to the side. We're going to focus on, and I am very careful not to get clinical because that's not my background, but there are specific things that you can ask, things that you do as a coach where let's get to the root cause of what's really happening. You know, you may not think you have an idea, but as we're talking, things are coming out. Things are coming out. You know, you may say, oh, it's the job, it's the boss, when really it's something else totally different. You know, something else comes up that's totally different. But the common denominator that I see with women in my audience, and I'll get messages, I'll send out emails and things like that, and people will respond. And it's very similar. I don't know if I'm ready for this, not necessarily coaching, but just, you know, making a change. I know there's a change that I want to make. I don't necessarily know what the change is. I feel stuck, you know? So let's kind of talk about that a little bit in, you know, in your practice, what you've seen, you know, and coming from that background. And one of the, you know, what would you say is, and this is so generic or general, but if we were to stay at that level for right now, what would you say that you have seen has been the biggest hurdle for quote unquote change, you know, for someone to make a change? What have you seen? Not necessarily think, but what have you seen?
Yeah. It's actually a pretty easy answer in that listening. Nobody knows how to listen. And what I mean to listen is I mean to listen. Listen to your body. Stuck is something that wants to be heard. And it is a feeling that we need to learn to listen to. And that has the answer. It's you know, it's not the thinking mind that has the answer. Most of us are very much in our conscious mind, thinking about things, trying to think our way through things. And yes, it's a beautiful part of us, but really conscious mind, thinking mind, analytical mind is just 10% of who we are, you know, and our body, our subconscious mind, which is our body, I'm going to translate it. It is communicating with us through our emotions, through our body. So stuck is an emotion that's coming through that wants to be heard. And so the challenges that most people have is just learning to listen and learning to understand what it's saying. Cause I don't have the answer. Anybody walks in, they may be looking for me for the answer. I'm like, dude, I don't have your answer. I know how to help you get your answer. Yeah. Cause I'm basically going to help you listen to that stuck feeling. And then, you know, really start to begin to open it to see what it really needs.
Yeah. It's interesting. Cause I hear you say that. And I think about some of the women that I've spoken to who are afraid to mm-hmm. listen, or mm-hmm. they don't trust themselves.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, have
don't
you
trust them? Oh yes. Yeah. They don't trust themselves. They doubt because it's that thinking mind that really gets in the way a lot. we are trying. It's kind of like driving. So if you ever driven from one place to another, you get to your final destination and you're like, how did I get here? Like, you're like, what streets did I took? You know, yeah. you have no clue. And that's yeah. because you're very much functioning in your thinking mind. You're maybe mm-hmm. thinking about dinner. What do you need to do tomorrow? Yesterday, a conversation you had, your body knows what it's doing. It's driving. And it's kind of that metaphor of understanding, like your body is taking in more information than you realize, but we're mm-hmm. sitting there trying to think our way through things. So it's kind of like you trying to think and drive. Like, let me rephrase that. It's you trying to drive with your thoughts. You don't
get it.
You don't drive with your thoughts.
Yeah.
But most of us think that we do because it's the most obvious part of us, right? We hear our thinking voice, we're listening in, and that's the training, even on a cultural basis, that we have not really helped our children. Me, like, I had no clue, you know, what are we taught? We're mostly taught to suppress, ignore, push down, and really just, ignore things because we don't know what to do with it. We're scared. Yeah. We have no clue.
Yeah.
So because we don't know what to do with it, we can be terrified. We're not sure what's going to come up. And so I guess, you know, even for me as a facilitator, starts to be like, hey, let me educate. Let me make sure you understand what's going on, because there's almost a surrendering of trust
yes.
of allowing me to lead you because you're fearful of what's going to come out because you think that you need to handle it too. When, you know, I'm here to kind of facilitate and help and guide you through that so that we can release those things because they've been living with it for all of their life. So mm-hmm. we're fearful of something that we've never not had in a sense. Right. Like, it's so familiar to us that we're like, who am I without this? You know,
exactly.
and sometimes that's more fearful
because that's our identity and taking that away.
Correct. Yeah.
And now have me feel things that I've never wanted, or I feel like I'm talking about me. Yeah, this is our session. You guys are listening in on my session right now. No, but it's so relatable because I relate to people in this. I mean, I'm human. I go through yeah. the emotions. I go through life changes. You know, for those who know, my dad passed away in January and I was like, yeah, I don't want to deal with this. Not doing it.
Yep.
Don't want to feel the feelings, but I know I need yeah. to feel these things because what's going to happen? It's going to show up somewhere else. It's going to come yep. up somewhere else. You know, mm-hmm. So I gave myself grace. I allowed myself to do all the things, did all the things. And then I had to literally pull back, sit back and sit in the feelings. You know what I mean? And so
yeah.
it's interesting you talk about change. I realized for me, I had to make changes because it was, you know, the passing of my dad brought up a lot of things that I neglected and ignored that manifested in business, that manifested in relationships, that manifested in consulting, every part of my life, you know? And so it's very interesting. And it resonates to the core with what you said with me, because I've been there, am there, if I'm being really honest with myself, with okay, the changes that I thought I was making externally, those are changes that I need to make internally. Let's start inside, Jackie. You know better, you know, and even doctors are their worst patients. You know that, right? So you know, logically, you know these things. And so it's like, okay, I know where I want to be. I know how to get there. Let's just do this, you know, and let's sit in this and let's figure out where a lot of these things and unresolved issues mm-hmm. are coming up. And once I did that, I started to now, the actions that I took were in alignment with healing these places that I didn't want to open that door. Make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? You know?
Yeah, it absolutely makes sense.
So it's interesting working with women. And, you know, I relate even more now to my clients, mm-hmm. you know, and they don't necessarily go through traumatic things or anything like that, but in making change, you know, what does that feel like? What, how scary it is to realize it's not external. These things are not external. You were going to say before I cut you off, my apologies.
Oh, no, 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 not at all. No, I 100% understand what you're saying. And, you know, even the grieving process is, let's break it down this way. Emotions want to move. That's just its natural state. If we look at the basic yeah. element of an atom, you know, if you were to pull up a picture on Google, an atom, you're going to get a 2D picture because it's, you know, not able to reflect motion. Mm-hmm. Atoms are moving.
Always. Yeah.
Always. And they're wavelengths too, you know? Yes. So that's why where quantum physics even comes in of yes. like a particle versus a wave. And so everything's moving. Like if I'm holding my cell phone right now in my hand mm-hmm. and that's moving.
Yeah.
Everything is moving. Everything needs to move. There's an energy to everything. Mm-hmm. And emotions are the same way. And so, you know, nothing is created or destroyed. So if we push down or hold down on emotions, you know, that is the not wanting to change. Everything's always changing. And if we don't embrace changes, step into change, we will feel resistance because yeah. it wants to change. And we feel uncomfortable because we're not changing yes. with the rate of flow,
exactly. right?
With that rate of flow and just allowing us to understand what needs to be released, what needs to be shifted or moved. Because even with the grieving process, those energies just want to be released, want to be let go, want to go through the motions. It's like a big wave. Mm-hmm. It is.
Yep.
It's a big wave yeah. that just needs to pass and needs to go through. And it takes being honest with ourselves, but also sometimes we do trick ourselves. We do fool ourselves. And so I, for one, will 100% admit I need a coach. Every coach needs mm-hmm. a coach because we yes. are like a doctor. We are yes. worse, you know, and just having that reflection because we have this level of understanding and intelligence, but we're human. We mm-hmm. are human in the end, mm-hmm. no matter what. And, you know, to be able to see what you can't see, it's like your blind spot, right? And so whenever yes. I ever talk to people, I'm like, dude, I'm not here, your answer. I'm just your mirror. I'm like holding a mirror at your blind spot so you can see what you see there. You know, I'm just yeah. a mirror. Or you to bounce things back at you so that we can see it. And, you know, that's yeah. why I call my company Rapid Realization, because I just help you see things that are within you for you to come to a quicker realization to allow it to release, that we may be holding on to emotions that we did not realize we never let go because of, you know, resistance of what that may look like. Like I even have recently, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, this is a very common theme. Mm-hmm. So I just bringing it up since you brought up about your father is that, yeah, people don't understand grief. They don't understand the process. And again, most of our childhood and upbringing, we were taught to push down and really not feel these things, but it's being honest and really feeling that. And if we don't, yeah, it will come up. And I've worked with people plenty of times. I'd say a lot of my clients, if they had a passing, you know, it could be 10, 20, even 15 years, whatever, year later, when they actually learn how to grieve because we've been stuck with that energy within our body of just wanting to let go. You know, we hold on to resentment, guilt, shame, all of those, you know, negative, I'm going to say depleting emotions
yeah.
that really don't help us vibe higher. And we're holding on to that. And it needs to move. It needs to shift. It needs to be transformed. Water yes. transforms into steam, you know?
Yeah.
Everything needs to be moving, let go.
You know, what's interesting, you know, still along this line, and we will make it a little happier in a second, but it just feels like, I think the resistance for me initially was, I don't want to feel these quote unquote sad feelings, and I'm saying quote unquote sad, or emotions, because it's going to last too long, whatever too long is, you know what I mean? I don't want it to last long. So I want to avoid it. I want to feel other things, you know what I'm saying? But yeah. me logically understanding it is temporary to an extent, you know what I'm saying? It is either at the front of your mind. This is how I rationalize and what I think is happening or will happen. It's at the forefront because it's very recent, very fresh, very raw, yeah. and slowly yeah. it moves. You know, I visualize it slowly moving back, that it's not gone, but it's not as raw. You know, you get yeah. what I'm saying? And so it's like, let that process of healing, literally healing that cut, letting that heal naturally rather than resisting it and prolonging. Because the more you prolong, okay, you're going to prolong it. And then when is it going to show up? So it's like, okay, I release, I let go and Absolutely. Let it be and let it be what it's going to be. And just move with it. And it's like with, I don't swim, but with like, is it the riptide or you go with the current, you swim along. You understand what I mean? Because yeah. if you yeah. fight it, that's when it's like, oh, well, hell's going to break loose and you're going to drown. You're going to drown in it, you know? So it's like, just kind of yeah. go with it. I want to shift things a little bit because you brought something up where it's really interesting. I had a client say to me one time, I'm such a thinker. I'm not a feeler. I feel so disconnected to my feelings. Right. Have you heard that?
So funny. Yeah. That was actually the theme of today, my earlier session with a client. So it's so funny. Synchronicities
absolutely abound,
but it's common. It is common. When people say, oh, I'm a thinker, I don't feel. And honestly, you do feel. Most people are just not really acknowledging it because this is a perfect example. My recent client that I'm working with, they kept on saying that I'm disconnected. I don't feel anything. And I'm like, you know, and part of my process is this kind of checking in thing. Like, how do you feel? I asked that question. Well, what do you feel now? Mm-hmm. Oh man, I just feel down. Well, how do you know you feel down?
Yeah.
Oh man, I just like my shoulders are heavy and I just feel this like heaviness in my chest. I was like, okay, you're connected. You feel you're connected. Mm-hmm. And the belief behind it though, as if he didn't, is that emotions were wrong. There's like this hidden belief, like there's something wrong with feeling that we shouldn't feel, like we should feel a certain way. And so because we think that we should feel a certain way, we feel like we don't feel, or yes. we feel like we're disconnected, but we all are feeling, you know, if you're feeling a block, if you're feeling, even that, what's the word you used earlier? Not a block. It was a
stuck.
Yeah, there it is. Stuck. You're feeling stuck. Mm-hmm. You're feeling you are connected. You are feeling you are connected. And it's starting to reframe really how we see and understand emotions, mm-hmm. That you are connected. Because trust me, I have worked with people where they are really disconnected and they are very much in their head. You know, and there's reasonings for that, but there's a communication that needs to come through in how they feel more than mm-hmm. anything. So maybe it's not in a direct emotion because they're not able to express that word. Like words right. really do have a very, very particular meaning to everybody. And some people may use words that really don't mean what it means for you. And so we yeah. just have to find the word that means what it means for someone. And that's part of my job is, okay, you know, the minute someone says a word, I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, a recent word was, I'm soft. Mm. I'm like, what does soft mean? Soft for them meant that, right. That they're too sensitive, that they feel. Wow. And, you know, so it's like, you don't know what really the word means for someone and how they're defining it in their mind. Words are just a communication for us to really meet at one place. Mm-hmm. But if you're picking up on words differently, because, yeah, I mean, you were taught one completely different language based on your upbringing in your home, you know, so words yeah. will have a completely different context. So you feel, guarantee you, everybody feels, it's just, we have to have, you know, and that's the facilitator, whoever's working with them, in order for them to have a good meeting ground of understanding how you feel, what you feel, and that you do to help you understand that you do feel. I hope I answered your question.
You did answer my question. As you're talking, I'm just thinking, when folks are hesitant to make a change and they're complaining. So let's take this back to a profession, right? Mm-hmm. They feel uncomfortable where they are. Mm-hmm. They feel like they want something better. something is holding them back. They can see others thriving, having success, and they want that. However, they're not taking any action to get to those places for them, whatever that thing looks like for them. And they've identified what it is that they want, but they are still not doing it. Like, talk to that person. You know, what's that change? I think we kind of talked about it as far as the resistance of the unknown and the fear, but how do you move through the fear of that?
Yes. The strongest emotion will win. The strongest emotion will win. So if you're fearful of that, it will win. But if you're tired of being stuck in the same place, that will win. So we have to, so there's two ways of looking at this. So we have to understand what is creating that fear. Most people that, you know, professionals that really are, you know, that type A, they know exactly what they want. They're going for it. They even created a whole manifestation board, however you want to look at it. Like, they are, that picture is clear. But yeah, it's kind of like the person that wants to lose 100 pounds, you know, they see the end result. They see, they hang up that dress in their room. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh yeah, this is what I want. But then when it comes to taking the daily steps, they get overwhelmed because we're looking at the end result, but we have no clue how to get there. And there is a component of organization that needs to come in it, meaning let's break it down. You know, when we manifest things, when we really look at things, we are to sit in that place of that, like really feeling it fully and really believing that to the core. However, if we're at the same time, we're thinking about all the steps we need to do to get there, it creates this anxiety, overwhelm, panic, stress, all those emotional words of how to get there. So we got to break things down, you know? So I'll give it an example for someone that, you know, lose weight, easy, 100 pounds, let's say, in the course of a year. So I say, okay, well, what do you need to lose in 6 months? Yeah, just cut it in half. Right. So if we cut it in half, it's 50 pounds. Okay. So if you need to lose 50 pounds in 6 months, what do you need to do in 3 months? Yeah, 3 months. Cut it in half. 25 pounds. 25 pounds in 3 months. Okay. So what do we need to do in 1 month? Divide it by three now. 25 pounds by three. By three. What's my math? What is that? 4 point.
I can't even think.
4.2. Let's say, sorry for those people that have a calculator. Let's, I know. Let's say it's 4.2 pounds per month, roughly. 8.2 pounds a month. So if that's how much you need to lose this month, what about next week? So we divide it by four. We break it down again. Now it's 2 pounds a week. Because 8 divided by 4 is 2. I knew that one. Right. thank you, med school. I knew that one. So now it's 2 pounds a week. So now it becomes a bit more realistic. And it becomes more valid to the present moment. Because when we take action, it purely needs to be present. Okay. When we manifest, we sit in the future. We want to really embody that future sense. But when we are taking action, we are fully present. But when we are longing for that future and acting in the future at that, we're not present. We're thinking about the future and we're acting in a place of anxiety, of fear, of stress, because we haven't really sat presently to think, what do I need to do that will create change now?
Right now. That is so poignant.
Yeah. So 2 pounds. Well, what do I need to do in order to lose 2 pounds this week? Oh, it's easy. Oh, I got to go up those stairs. I got to run. I got to eat. You become more mindful and present and aware as to what you do now. Because when it comes to action, it's about now. It's about being present. It's about being aware. It's not about that future when we manifest. Yeah, it's future.
Right.
That's when you sit there when I conceptualize these concepts and really talk about to it with people, this is how I do it. I'm like, look, let's see it kind of separately, because we need to get organized in a sense, because we're trying to manifest. Mm-hmm. We're trying to manifest and getting overwhelmed with now. And then when we're now, we're thinking about the future and we're
That's
not.
Me.
Yeah.
That's me. That is, you just summed me up in a nutshell, because I, you know, again, making this about me, but
don't worry, it usually is. I do the same on my podcast. I'm like, who do I want to be or session from or learn from?
I think about, you know, it's interesting because my group is called High Achievers, and I'm like, because that's who I am. And
yes,
sometimes I have to be really mindful of now because I tend to live in the future. And then I get overwhelmed about, oh, that thing or this place and this, you know, this goal or, you know, what I want to manifest. And it's like, Jackie, reel it back in, come back. Where did I read this? I don't know if it was Essentialism or another book. WIP, what's important now? Those are the actions. Those are the things that I need to do. Not IP, WIN, what's important now? Those are the things that I need to do today in this moment right now. And I break these things down, but sometimes my mind goes, it still goes
future,
to that other place, you know, and then I get overwhelmed and it's like, come back, bring it back. You know, I struggle with that. That's a struggle for me, honestly, because I'm like always doing, do. And it's like, no, just be and be present. You know, and I find that I'm not overwhelmed when I'm living in the present and I have to bring myself back. Funny enough, I have clients that live in the future and I know how to bring them back for myself. Yeah. It's like, come on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm there with you. You know, we're all human. And trust me, I was about to grab some of my sticky notes. I got little reminders around me all the time, right? Just to bring me present now. You know, if I skip out on my meditation, that's why I have my meditation cushion out. Like I need to see those visuals. Yeah. I need to keep that, those reminders for me to reel me back in because the mind does want to wander. And, you know, it's a beautiful part. It's not a bad part. We just got to learn how our mind works, be conscious and aware and do things with intention. You know, it's just like just being intentive, but present. And it is a skill. I'm going to highlight that. It's a skill. It's an exercise. It is like working out, you know, at the gym. You know, we have to train ourselves to be in that presentness, to be present, to be good with being present. You know, it's learning how to quiet down the mind and just, it's a skill, it's a practice. So it's an exercise. Yeah. The mind is a muscle.
It is a muscle. And I talk to myself very often and I'm so okay with that because I have to, you know what I mean? Yeah. Sometimes I'm coaching myself in certain areas and it's like we need that. And it's just really interesting. It resonated so much what you said about being in the present. And for those listening, it's, you know, I totally get wanting and having the desire of something else. And as Dr. Anne Marie says, it's just like breaking it down to easier, smaller pieces that of things that are doable, of things that are just completely doable. And if needed, get the help to facilitate that. Because sometimes we try to do it on our own and we think is a small chunk is really a mountain.
Oh, yeah.
Because our expectations of ourselves is grand, you know? I have a best friend who holds me accountable. We started this whole accountability check-in once or twice a week where, you know, we have, I don't want to say lists, but things that we're our goals and we check in with each other and I have mine and it's a joke because, you know, what I thought that I broke down to smaller pieces, she's looking at me like, what is this? What is this? You know? And so I need someone outside of me to say, okay, let's break this down even further. What is realistic for you this week? You know, interestingly enough, my background is in project management. I do that for my clients on the IT side all day long.
Yeah.
When it comes to me, I have this grandiose idea of what needs to happen. And, you know, I chunk things out, but these chunks are huge. And it's like, no, Jackie, bring it back down. Let's act like we're 4 years old and we can only do one task at a time. You know what I mean? Because it sometimes gets ridiculous, but no, that's really good. And an awesome nugget of information there with really bringing things back to now and chunking breaking them down. I say chunking them out, but breaking them down to bite-sized pieces where you're not overwhelmed, you know, and you're absolutely right. You feel stuck, you get stuck, you're resistant to change because you're looking at the end result, the future, and you're and living creating there.
Exactly. And that's not truly going to manifest it. When you want to step into that really believing feeling, we want to do it from a place of grace, you know, that those feelings.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Absolutely. Oh my goodness. We can talk hours about this, but I want to dive a little bit more into rapid realization. Please let us know more about rapid realization. I may need to, we'll talk. So let's talk about rapid realization, your company.
Yeah. So, I mean, my main focus is, I kind of pivoted how I like to verbalize who I am. Really, I'm a mind coach. You know, I just help you learn how to get out of your own way. I create that mental peak performance for most of my clients are professionals. They're athletes, professionals, people in a place where they really need to meet that mental peak performance and get out of their own way. Cause it is usually a self-sabotage, clearing limiting beliefs about oneself. Really most of my people that have come to me have tried various types of therapy. So I always like to say, I'm kind of the last resort. I do use
where we hypnosis. Probably need to start first.
What I mean is therapeutically, like, you know, when cause my approach is alternative in that I get into those altered states of awareness using hypnosis so that we can really connect with your subconscious mind, connect with your body, and your eyes are closed and you're really connected. You're inward. You're really listening, learning how to listen. So you're in that meditative type of place, hypnosis. So
really quickly, let me ask you, maybe this is my ignorance, but what is the difference with, it may be really an ignorant question, but I'm going to ask anyway.
No judgment.
What is the difference between guided meditation and some of your practice with hypnotherapy?
Great question. All hypnosis is self-hypnosis. So you can do auto-suggestion and the main difference between like a guided meditation versus hypnosis is suggestibility.
Okay.
You know, making sure that there's suggestions that are given and you're in a place of openness of receiving those suggestions. If I like to say, people do brain scans and they see that children are primarily in this brainwave called theta, where they're very open, right? They're you tell little 5-year-old the sky's purple, they're gonna be like, "Ooh, sky's purple.
It's purple.
Yeah, sky's purple." Yeah. They want to believe you. They're just so you can suggest to them anything and they're just so open. They're like little sponges. And so the thing is, theta brainwaves are created during meditation. They're created during hypnosis. They're created when we're sleeping. And so hypnosis is a way of just putting you into a sleep state, but you're awake. Your conscious mind is awake, but your body feels asleep. So I like to say you're almost like scathing that feeling of right before you fall asleep because you're more open for suggestions. So suggestions are given so that you can take them so that you create a rapid change of whatever it is that we want to work on and clearing pushing that back and not taking it in. So it's a great question, actually. So not in a it's a great question.
I feel better about that. I feel much better about that. So Rapid Realization is your company. And you're a mind coach.
Yeah, more than anything, more than anything, I'm a mind coach. But obviously, you know, I'm a medical doctor.
Exactly. Trained.
I'm a clinical hypnotherapist. If you want to talk about all the certifications, so I'm trained in NLP. But more than anything, it's just about self-sabotage, helping people get out of their own way. You know, I it's very rare that I work with people for a long period of time in regards to strategy and business or like planning things that I really just clear those blocks that could be getting in the way.
Awesome. Yeah. I really love talking with you, and we can go for hours. We can go for hours. There's so many things that you said. I'm like, oh my goodness, that's me. Let's talk more about it. Let's talk more about it. Oh, that's several of these clients. Let's talk more about it. But I really enjoyed having you on to give my listeners a taste of a different point of view, right? From a different aspect of really going inside and looking within yourself and making change from inside to outside, as opposed to what I call superficial band-aids that we try to do these things. And it's, you know, it's really interesting. Some clients, I will refer them to therapy because it's like, you know, I can help and complement, but really what needs to happen, there's other work, you know? And for those who are on the fence about that, it's like, explore different options, you know, explore different options, because you never know what will work for you. You know, you can go the traditional route. If that works, great. You can go what some may be saying today is not traditional, but I really feel that this is becoming much more traditional than anything, because I think as a whole, we're starting to really look within ourselves. You know, we're starting to look and say, you know, there's something bigger than me on the surface. You know, there's a place that I've not gone to. I need to go to this place and just kind of do some realization about who I am, what I want, and where I want to be. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's really interesting because I'll have these deep conversations and it's like, you know, let's explore different things that haven't typically been the norm. And I'm a lifelong learner. I love learning about new, you know, techniques and different things like that. So I really enjoyed having you on today. This was really amazing. And please let us know where we can find you and where we can hear your podcast, Rapid Realization.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's, even if you Google search Rapid Realization, you'll get a slew of stuff. The podcast is Rapid Realization Podcast. So if you put in Rapid Realization Podcast, it's on all major platforms. So you can hear it on Apple, Spotify, you know, all the major places. Right now I'm on break. It's been live for a year, but I decided to switch to seasons because I want to niche down into a bit more. I love going deep, like into concepts.
My
last season was like a lot of various concepts. So it's really, you know, it's been a beautiful experience. So next season, we're just going to focus on one concept and go super deep. So I may get super nerdy on people, but I like it.
I love that idea. I may have to steal that idea. I tried seasons. I'm doing seasons and they're still all over the place, but it's whatever it is. I'm still learning, whatever.
So if you look it up, it's on break, but awesome. It's there.
I'd love to definitely promote that and put all of the links on how to access the podcast in the show notes. But how are you on social? Let's get your social media handles and let's make sure we follow you. Where can we find you?
Yeah, it's going to be Ann Balkansky, A-N-N, last name B-A-L-K-A-N-S-K-I. So it's Ann Balkansky are pretty much all my handles for, you know, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. It's Ann Balkansky Mind Coach. I'm sorry, Anne Marie Mind Coach.
We'll put all of the links in all the show notes. Absolutely. Make sure that everyone has that. Thank you so much for spending time with me today and blessing us with your knowledge and information and just a different aspect, a different point of view, because this is much needed, especially in these times. You know what I'm saying? Especially in these times, because I think a lot of people are under a lot of different stressors, you know, and are feeling overwhelmed with whatever is going on in their lives. And so I really enjoyed having you on to have this different perspective. And this is an option. This is definitely an option, you know? So thank you so much, Dr. Anne Marie. I would be remiss because you said something very early on and you just, I love you. You like glide through your accomplishments, but I'm going to hold you right now. You're a published author?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about that really quickly.
It's called Medicine Woman. It's called Medicine Woman, and it's just really, it's an anthology. So it's awesome. It's doctors from around the world, and man, are they inspirational. And I mean, women that have been through, you know, really just things, and they got through med school and they help people, and it's just, they're just human. And so that's the essence of the whole anthology, is just to really show this human side of these doctors that really, you know, that's what my story is about. It's just about my humanness. And it's so that's, if you wanted to look it up, just look it up. Medicine Woman.
Awesome. You see what I mean? You're writing books and doing
if anybody wants my chapter, I can also give it to them. If they want to, I'll send you the link to that if you'd like. Absolutely. And I can send them my chapter for free if they would like that. Absolutely. But it's on Amazon, so you can Google it and see it. It's one of I know it was up there when it first got released, so, top seller.
So. Listen, you're so nonchalant about everything.
Oh, you're so cute.
I love it. It's like, promote yourself, be the badass that you are. Like, you're doing
my coach things. Tells me the same thing. They're like, stop things. Saying you're a doctor. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot.
Guess what? I would have a tattoo. It would be so obnoxious. No, but you have to celebrate your accomplishments. I think it's really important. I'm gonna say this. I think it's really important as women that we do that. Oh, yeah. Celebrate ourselves and celebrate our accomplishment. I definitely believe in celebrating yourself and being proud of what you've done and what you've accomplished and where you've come from, because the journey, I'm sure, was not easy. But I applaud you. Thank you. If this is my way of giving you your flowers, this is me giving you your flowers. Thank you. Because I think you're amazing. Everything that you said resonated with me. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is such good information. But again, thank you so much. I could go on and on, but thank you. I'm fanning over here. Like, thank you.
Thank you, Jackie. I appreciate you. I really
You're
do.
You're awesome. You're an awesome person. You are. This was meant to be. We've been trying to get together for the past however many months, since the end of last year, I think it was.
Yeah. You're right. I remember holidays.
And life happened. But everything happens when it's supposed to happen. So this is ideal. Again, thank you.
We'll be in continual contact, I'm sure.
So absolutely. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of Bench Talk. I will see you guys in the next episode, and everything, all the links on how to contact Dr. Anne-Marie will be in the show notes below. Thanks, everyone, for listening.